What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes, your 2 cents of basketball. My name is Rodrigo, and this is the second take of the intro. Let's hope this time it goes well. You can call me Rod, and sitting across me is the man who once inadvertently stole a table from a neighbor. Rafael, how are you doing, man?
I didn't know that we were going to be talking about this today.
I'm just trying to introduce you in many different ways so people get to know you a little bit better.
Okay, that was a long time ago.
A long time ago, indeed. I don't know how I remember that.
I think they cannot press any charges anymore, so should be fine.
I don't even know if they noticed that their table was missing.
They're probably still looking for it.
Probably. Man, it's been an exciting season, an exciting week. Let's talk about very, very quick about the Vancouver Podcast Festival, from which we were part. We were part of the very first Vancouver Podcast Festival. We met a ton of people that are either thinking of starting their new podcast.
And just to make sure that it's clear, that's not related to the NBA season.
Correct.
We're just going to talk about the Vancouver Podcast
Festival. Let me finish. We met other people that have been doing this for a number of years that have their own shows. We just want to say that it was a pleasure to meet everyone. We both felt very inspired. We learned tons. I don't think that we've actually had time to review all the tips and all the other websites and software and gear that you guys recommended. So quick shout outs. Should we do shout outs?
Yeah. And also, I was going to say that we also met a lot of people that are just starting like us as well.
Yeah. So, and especially for those guys, you know, it was very interesting because they asked us, you know, what's the name of your show? And I said, Dropping Dimes. And we're like, huh? And Dropping Dimes, as everyone that is our listener knows, it means giving an assist, right? And what would be Dropping Dimes without giving shout outs? So shout out to Ronnie and Simone, who are, I think they're 12 episodes in. Already subscribed to their podcast. Blair, I don't think it's cool to disclose his last name, but he's starting to think about his podcast.
Yeah.
And also, there's a couple other people that have their own podcast already. One of them is Ian from Politicoast and the Canby Report. Mm-hmm. More on the politics side. If you are from Vancouver or from British Columbia, make sure you check him out.
Also, Kyle from Rise Sports, right?
Yes, how did I forget? Kyle from Rise Sports, who I think they're a part of Daily Hub Vancouver.
Yes.
Kyle, I dropped you an email. Please respond. We're looking forward to watching a game with you. Shout out, Kyle.
And also shout out to Bob from Spreaker.
Oh, yeah. Bob was very nice.
Yeah, Bob was very nice. And shout out to Spreaker and Vox Nest. If you want to sponsor us or give us a free trial or anything like that.
We already have 2 months for free.
Yeah, so yeah.
Maybe if they want to give us our own discount code.
Yeah, no, it's great that we have 2 months for free because now we have analytics so we can double check about the 10 people that are downloading our show.
Thank you all for joining us again. Don't forget to please rate us and obviously subscribe. Tell a friend, tell your parents, tell your family, tell your kids. If you have kids and they like basketball, we're a great show. We're fun for all the family. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at dropping.dimes, on Twitter at dropping_dimes1, on Facebook dropping.dimes1.
Wait, are we done for the day?
Hold on, no.
Okay.
And our website dropping-dimes.com. It's a lot of punctuation, but we'll get it right every time, I promise. All right, enough of advertising. Let's get into it. Guess what we're going to open up with, Rafael? Let me give you a hint.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
The drama is finally over.
I'm probably the only one that understood that, but okay.
No, I'm pretty sure everyone
knows. People
are
going to get used to it.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler is finally out of Minnesota. He is going to the Philadelphia 76ers after, 13 weeks probably? Mm-hmm. Of basketball. It is finally over. Well, actually more than that, because he requested a trade a couple of weeks before the season started.
Yeah.
But he's going over to Philadelphia along with Justin Patton, and the Timberwolves are getting Dario Saric, Robert Covington, and Jared Bayless.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of this trade?
I mean, to be honest, I was watching some YouTube videos and reading the news and, you know, some people that we respect, and we actually constantly, you know, go to their websites and check their opinion about trades and about teams. I actually feel that I'm not 100% sure if the Timberwolves, I mean, if the 76ers got the best when it comes to this trade, if they're the winners. Because, you know, the three guys that are going to the Timberwolves are actually very good players.
They are, yeah. I mean, Dario Saric, I mean, he's having a bit of an off year, but he's got games already where, and from last season as well, that he can be a very solid player coming off the bench, especially. Mm-hmm. Same with Robert Covington, who is a very solid player. Jared Bayless is just that veteran, that veteran presence that you want on your bench.
He was never, like, he's an underachiever. He was supposed to be a better player, and he never achieved what people were expecting from him.
But I think he turned himself into more of a, you know, he does the dirty work. He's a good veteran. He's a bench guy.
And what's the name of the other guy?
Covington.
He's a very good two-way player, right? He's very good defensive player and also offensive player. So he's going to be very good for that team. So
it's still a young team though. Like, I don't know if Minnesota won. I mean, there's only one way to look at this, and that's, you know, in 20-30 games.
But technically, now Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins, they should start playing better because now the drama is solved. So they should also get better. And then if you look at the 76ers, they don't have any shooters.
Right.
And they have too many egos now because Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, there are some rumors that they don't really get along. And now you're adding Jimmy Butler, and Jimmy Butler wants to be the main guy. So it's gonna be interesting to see how the dynamics are gonna play there. The only shooter that they have is JJ Redick, and he's not the kind of guy that can shoot with his feet set. He needs to come out of a screen.
Right.
So there needs to be movement for him to hit a three-pointer. So it's gonna be interesting to see.
I would argue, I mean, I don't know anyone in the Sixers, unless you tell me otherwise. But, you know, the rumors of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons not getting along, I think they're just that, rumors, honestly. They've always come out for each other when the media kind of talks about one of them. So, I don't know. I have no reason to believe that they're not getting along. And Jimmy Butler is, I don't know if he's a good presence. I don't know. Right now, it seems that, you know, the future is on the Timberwolves side. Obviously, I don't think they expect to be a real contender this year.
Yeah.
But now they got even younger with Dario Saric and Robert Covington. So I think there's a lot and to build from there. And they're going to focus on Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins.
Now, do you think the 76ers, with this trade, they're going to be able to fight against the Raptors, the Bucks, and the Celtics?
I don't think so.
So they're still like the fourth best team.
The only reason is because I don't think... They need more shooters. They need more people to come off the bench. You cannot just live on Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid having massive games all the time. I mean, Jimmy Butler is going to help for sure. I think it's just going to take him a little while to gel together. And, you know, we're 13 games into the season. So it's not like these things can take a lot longer. They better get together quickly, and they better figure things as soon as possible.
Yeah. And then you have Markel Fultz.
Oh, God, poor guy.
Bust, complete bust.
I don't know if he's a bust. It's just, you know, I wonder if he's got a really bad case of the yips.
Yeah, and then you have Norlens Noel that they traded, right?
That's already two seasons ago.
Yeah, man. I know. But what I'm trying to say is that they had so many picks, and not many of the picks that were supposed to be game changers really worked out for them. Like, well, they traded a lot of people.
But
there's
that's
more.
That's the draft, right?
Also, I mean, Okafor, right?
Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, that's the draft. You don't know really. You think you know what you're getting, but you can only expect and try to mentor these young players. But if you look at the Lakers, I mean, we've had some good drafts, draft picks in the few years, and look at Randall, look at D'Angelo Russell, look at Jordan Clarkson. They're no longer with the team.
Yeah, so basically the tanking strategy and the way they try to justify that with the fans, it's not necessarily justifiable because they missed so many shots when it comes to getting like a game changer.
But with Philadelphia, it worked out. Look at them.
They're better than they were, but still they're not like one of the top three teams right now.
Not now, but, you know, it's also a matter of time until they mature a lot more. Until Joel Embiid, who's going to be a superstar, and Ben Simmons, who is still early in his career where he can fix his shot,
yeah,
becomes another superstar, basically, if they're not already.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Butler should technically help with that. But speaking of immature veterans, let's talk about what I now like to call the melodrama.
Do you like that? I love that.
I wish I had come up with that. I heard it in another place.
Okay.
But I think it's perfect. Yeah. The melodrama. So, Carmelo Anthony, he was out for a couple of games. And it turns out that he spoke to Rockets officials. And there are rumors that the conversation went along the lines of, Melo, it has been a great 13 games, but we don't think that you're a good fit for the team. So pack your bags and... Or start packing your bags. We're not going to make it public, but, you know, get the hell out. So I just read a tweet from... It was today. That Carmelo's agent is working on trying to find him landing spots. And for a very brief second, I was terrified. Because who gets along with Carmelo?
Oh, that would be just stupid. Like,
No. Just answer my question.
LeBron.
Yes.
And Dwayne Wade as well.
I know he's got a lot of friends.
Yeah.
But for a second there, I was like, oh, God. If we just brought in Tyson Chandler, we want veterans, right? We're looking for veterans. And do we add Carmelo? But no, there's already reports that the Lakers said, hell no. I mean, they said no, but I assume we said, hell no.
If I were the Lakers, I would say, Melo mamas.
What? Don't say that. People don't know what that means. So
yeah,
it's fine.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm going to keep it on the show. Don't look it up. It's in Spanish. Don't Google it. If you're at work, do me a favor. Just don't listen to this podcast. No, please do. Please listen. Just don't listen to what Rafael says.
Okay,
so what do you think about Carmelo and his situation?
I'm tired of Carmelo, to be honest. I think he should retire. I mean, he's damaged.
Straight up.
Yeah, I think he should retire. I think he should have retired like two seasons ago. Like, it was already embarrassing with the Knicks. And it was embarrassing with Oklahoma. And it's embarrassing with the Rockets. So I think that he should consider retiring. I feel like I'm not even 100% sure if he's a no-brainer when it comes to becoming a Hall of Famer. A lot of people consider him a Hall of Famer, and they don't discuss that, and they don't feel like there's space for an argument. But I've heard other people saying that they agree with me, and they think that it's not 100% clear whether or not he should be a Hall of Famer. I don't feel his career justifies becoming a Hall of Famer, to be honest. And the more he stays, the more he refuses to retire, and he just, you know, embarrasses himself, then the more I'm going to have an argument that he shouldn't be a Hall of Famer.
I think that he is a Hall of Famer. However, he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? Like, he's probably going to be added to the conversation and added to the ballot whenever his time comes around. I don't think he'll get in his first ballot, like I said. He's going to make it later. But I think he is a Hall of Famer, especially just out of the numbers. I mean, there was a point in time, like, Nuggets and early New York Carmelo was terrifying. And all the things that he did for the Olympics. So even if it's not for his NBA career, he's won more gold medals than any other player in USA basketball.
Then maybe not NBA Hall of Fame then.
No, he's going to make it. I mean, there's no NBA Hall of Fame. There's the Basketball Hall of Fame in Massachusetts and the FIBA Hall of Fame. So if you make it in one, you're probably going to make it in the other. My argument is that if you make it in the NBA, in the Basketball Hall of Fame in Massachusetts, you most probably are going to make it into the FIBA Hall of Fame.
I don't know. It's such a tough one. I mean, I even wrote down here that we should also talk about Allen Iverson and Shaq, because they are also two examples of players that towards the end of their careers, they started moving around a lot and they were not relevant anymore at the end. Shaq, for example, like he became more of a, like, he was more like a fan favorite rather than a productive player towards the end of his career.
I agree, but we're talking about Shaquille O'Neal, guy that devoured centers for decades.
I understand. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be a Hall of Famer, but what I'm trying to say is, were we more, how can I say, flexible with these two guys because of how iconic they were when they were good players, productive players? And are we being tougher with Carmelo Anthony? Or Carmelo Anthony's career as a complete package doesn't allow us to be more flexible and
it's a tough argument because, you know, with Shaq, like you said, it was he was so dominant. He won championships. I wouldn't say early in his career, but he made a point that, okay, he's the force to beat in the NBA. He changed the way that other centers played. He was a force all by himself, right? He's one of those figures that are bigger than the game. So I would say from the moment that he established himself as a living legend with the Lakers and the three-peat, that's when he checked his ticket into the Hall of Fame. Undisputable Hall of Fame, I should say.
He changed the game when he came to the league with the Magic as well.
Yeah.
He made it to the finals with the Magic. And then he got another ring with the Miami Heat. So he was relevant predominantly during his career, right? So he was relevant most of the time. So he became a little bit irrelevant towards the end of his career, but I feel like still it's a no-brainer. With AI, he played for such a long time with the 76ers, and they made it to the playoffs almost every year during his first period with the 76ers.
Right.
And he was such an amazing player as well.
Even with the Nuggets, he had a good run with the Nuggets with Chauncey Billups and Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
And had it not been for the Lakers that ended up winning those championships, I mean, they were a contender for sure.
The Nuggets?
The problem was
probably Carmelo.
There was a conference finals where if it hadn't been for a steal from Trevor Ariza when he was with the Lakers, they could have arguably gone or forced us to a game 7.
Mm.
So, I mean, Carmelo was shooting the lights out. I cannot say that Carmelo is, you know, like right now where you leave him wide open. Like Carmelo was someone that you had to double guard, triple guard. So I think he's a Hall of Famer, but I don't think that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And we also had this discussion before the season started. And I remember that I mentioned that I feel like Carmelo is one of these guys that maybe just lost his passion for the game. And he's doing it just because he knows that he can still find a team that will pay him, but maybe he's not as passionate as he used to be.
You know what's the problem? What I think is one of the main problems is that he's always come out and said, you know, I'm not gonna come off the bench. I know when it's my time to come off the bench, and it's not right now. If you compare him to someone like Vince Carter with other veterans, you know, like Jamal Crawford or, you know, you name it, they know that they have to either change their game to keep up with the new pace, with the new style of small ball and playing multiple positions at the same time. Carmelo, I don't feel that he has evolved his game to that point. You cannot leave him open. He's going to sink that shot, but so will anyone else in the NBA, right? So I think that's his problem. I mean, if you're a team with young players,
other than Lonzo Ball and Rondo,
what?
They will not sink that shot.
They will.
If they're open.
No, shut up. I lost my... Great. Thank you. What I was going to say is, if you're a team with younger players, is that you don't want someone that might come out with that attitude to your team, because then that's going to infect all the younger players.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And you have examples of other veterans or players. Like, you mentioned Vince Carter. Vince Carter, although he was never the human highlight that he was at the beginning of his career again, he was still very productive and he found his role. And I think there's no question that he will make it to the Hall of Fame because he changed the game as well.
Oh, hold on. If Vince Carter is going to make it to the Hall of Fame, Carmelo has to make it before Vince Carter.
But for different reasons, though. Like, Carmelo, the expectations were much higher and he never delivered according to
the expectations. But he was a scoring champ for I don't know how many times. And Vince Carter, he had also some very big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
And he also came out short. So if Vince Carter is going to make it into the Hall of Fame, I would put Carmelo Anthony before Vince Carter.
Every time we start talking about Hall of Fame, it becomes a never-ending discussion because it's tricky. Like, some players, they will you know, touch you in a different way.
I agree, but...
And I'm not talking about physically touching me, but I'm talking about...
Why would you even go there?
Touching me, you know, like emotionally. And, for example, I feel like Tracy McGrady, maybe he deserved and he made it to the Hall of Fame. But I am also a little bit, like, unsure because he had very good years, but then he became this player that was very injury prone. He was never the same, and so on.
But during his prime, I don't want to go into a Hall of Fame discussion.
As I said, it's going to be never ending.
Let me ask you this about Carmelo: do you think he'll find a team that will take him?
For sure, for sure.
Who do you think might take him? Which team?
You know, the Brooklyn Nets, they have a lot of experience when it comes to signing players that are not productive anymore and paying them a shitload of money.
I think, and I'm going off on a limb here, but I'm going to go with the Celtics.
No, that wouldn't be a smart move for them.
Why not? I mean, they're having a little bit of troubles trying to figure everyone out and all the offensive pace. If they talk to Carmelo and say like, hey man, you're going to be here as a mentor, you're not going to see a lot of playing time. But I don't know. I just have a hunch that the Celtics might sign him.
But the last thing I want to say about Hall of Fame and the discussion we were having.
No, we're not talking about the Hall of Fame.
No, just, you know, think about it and we can talk about it next week. T-Mac and Vince Carter. If T-Mac made it to the Hall of Fame, then Vince Carter will make it as well.
No, T-Mac had a better career than Vince Carter.
You think?
Absolutely. Hands
Vince
down.
Carter made it to the finals with the Nets, right?
No.
Oh,
no,
he was
no,
not
no,
playing
no,
there
no,
yet?
No.
I don't know.
Tracy made it with the Spurs.
No, but that, I mean...
It's the same argument.
It doesn't
then.
Count.
No.
Like that, the finals that T-Mac...
No, I'm
played,
not
going to
go there.
Count.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there. Yeah. This is for another time when we talk about the Hall of Fame. But Tracy had a better career than Vince Carter.
Okay.
Period.
Vince Carter is still playing. T-Mac has been retired for a long time.
So?
I mean, how can you say it's a better career? He's still productive. He's still relevant. But anyways.
With all 8 points that he's scoring.
Let's talk about it another day.
All right. Let's move on to check out what are the standings right now. So we'll still have the Raptors as the best team in the NBA.
But they just lost.
They just lost against the Pelicans. So their record will be 12-2. Then we got the Golden State Warriors right after them.
And the Golden State Warriors, they lost against the Bucks this week. And it was a blowout, right?
It was. Yeah, it was. I mean, I don't know. That the Warriors, we've mentioned this a lot of times. Sometimes they're engaged. And when they're not engaged, it's very tough for them too.
But I think Draymond was not playing that game.
He wasn't. Yeah, that's correct.
And Steph got hurt maybe during the third quarter or second quarter.
Oh, yeah. And I haven't seen any reports out of that MRI.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what's going on with Steph. But yeah, I mean, I would be worried. He was playing out of his damn mind.
Yes. But we should talk about the Blazers. Don't you think so?
No.
No?
So, let's see. We got
always
Toronto,
talk about
Golden
the
State, the Bucks. And then, aren't you happy? The Blazers are the fourth best team overall.
Yes.
With 10 wins and 3 losses.
Yes, and
so far.
And CJ, I don't remember which game it was this week or last week, I should say. He had 40 points, right? One of the games. I don't remember which one it was. But yeah, it was a great week for the Trailblazers. The last 10 games that we played, our record is 8-2. So only 2 losses during the last 10 games.
And you've won 4 in a row.
4 in a row.
How? With a team that has disappointed you and many other fans for so long by drafting the wrong players and just not making it past the second round. How do you feel right now?
Look, I'm
not a biased question at all.
I'm nothing but proud of the Trailblazers because they are a small market team and they managed to stay relevant every season. And they've been making to the playoffs for a long time. And even when they put together a team that you feel like it's going to be the worst team in their history, they still make it to the playoffs with Andre Miller as their point guard when he was already 50 years old. So I have nothing to say about the Trailblazers other than I'm very, very proud. I am proud that they're doing better. They're exceeding expectations at the moment. But I should also say that it doesn't matter if you're third or if you're second or if you're first in the West. When it comes to the playoffs, you need to make sure that you show the other teams and the rest of the league that you can deliver and that you can at least make it to the second round.
There you have it, folks. The kings of mediocrity. The Portland Trailblazers, everyone.
I mean, I don't know. Where is this coming from? The Lakers...
I'm kidding.
When was the last time that they made it to the playoffs?
5 years ago.
There you go. Five years.
Okay, if we're going to ask those questions, when was the last time that the Blazers won a championship?
That's okay, but...
You weren't even born, man.
At least we have more consistency.
There you have it, folks. The Kings of mediocrity. We're not going to be good. We're not going to be bad.
The other thing we should talk about is that your Lakers, they are currently the eighth seed, right?
Correct. With our win against the Atlanta Hawks, that brought us to over the 500. So we're currently at 7 wins and 6 losses.
After a rough start.
After a rough start. I think there are reports that LeBron said he was going to crack because of the rough start that we had in the beginning. But again, this is a young team. I'm just happy that we're getting some wins under our belts. We have a 3-win streak right now. Mm-hmm. So it's just we have good momentum going on.
And 7-3. For the last 10 games, so which is also very good considering how you guys are playing at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
but the last 2 or 3 games they were against like irrelevant teams as well. Like
no, the Kings. We beat the Kings. Yeah. And it was almost from beginning to end. So that was a good win. The Hawks. It was a back to back. We barely beat them. I agree.
I've been watching a lot of basketball lately, and I happened to watch a lot of Lakers games this week, and I feel like even though they're winning, they're still a little bit reckless with their style when it comes to how they're playing. They need to take better care of the ball. I think they want to play a very fast pace.
Yeah.
But because of that, it becomes reckless. It becomes a little bit too chaotic as well.
Guess who we're playing on Wednesday?
The Trailblazers again.
That's
right. But I should also mention that the Lakers are currently the 8th seed. But you have the Houston Rockets as the 12th right now. And then you have Utah Jazz as the 10th?
Yep.
Yeah. And then you also have the Minnesota Timberwolves as the 14th team. So these are all teams that should be doing better. And even the Pelicans, 9th right now, they should be doing better. So I'm not sure. It's going to be a very, very difficult fight for that last spot.
Not only the 8th seed, but if you take a look right now, I mean, there's obviously games undergoing as we speak. From the 4th to the 9th, there's only a game difference, basically. So teams are either an entire game behind, half a game.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy because I think this is the pace. You know, I think I'm going to see the Lakers in and out of the playoff picture in the next couple of weeks until things are starting to, you know, everyone's starting to take their own way or their own paths. Teams that are going to tank are going to start tanking really hard. Teams that want to make it into the playoffs have to start playing better.
Yeah.
Teams that are in between, we'll see them going up and down. I think that's going to be the Lakers. Like I said, I think we're going to be anywhere between the 6th and the 8th seed.
The only thing we know at the moment is that, speaking about the West, is that the Phoenix Suns are going to suck the whole season.
Probably.
Other than that, there are some teams that we didn't expect to be playing as decent or as good as they are. They are overachieving, like the Sacramento Kings, for example.
Yep.
And then there are some teams
the Grizzlies.
The Grizzlies, and they're just even the Clippers are overachieving. Yep. And then there are other teams that we are almost 100% sure that they were making to the playoffs, and they are still underachieving. So we need to see how things are going to develop during the season, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would say that after 20 games, we should then look at how's everyone doing. And that's going to give us a better picture. Right now, teams are still making a few moves here and there. They're still trying to find their identity. So we'll see in a couple of games. So we're not too far off from the 20-game mark. And that's going to give us a much better picture.
And one last thing about the West before we move to the
There's
East.
There's always one last thing.
I just wanted to say that it's very interesting if we think about it. Because most of the recent moves in trades, they were good players moving from the West to the East. And I think that's also a consequence of now LeBron playing for the Lakers, LeBron being part of the West, because some of the players, they don't want to have to face LeBron during the playoffs. So they're just moving to the East because they feel they have a better chance playing the East now.
Well, and also, let's face it, I mean, as of today, Monday, November 12th, if you have a losing record in the East, you will make the playoffs. And that's the 8th spot belongs right now to the Brooklyn Nets with 6 wins and 7 losses.
Yeah.
So there you go. I mean, the East has always been, or has traditionally been, weaker. I'm not very surprised about the East. The only team that I'm surprised about, the only two teams that I'm surprised about, are the Pistons, who I had them as completely irrelevant. They're okay. They've got some really good games. They got some really bad games. And the Celtics, I'm surprised, but not for a good reason. Mm-hmm. Just they're struggling. They're not that offensive juggernaut that everyone expected.
What about the Hornets, though?
I don't know. I
feel like they're a bit of a surprise.
I don't believe the Hornets yet.
Kemba is, it's,
I know, but
incredible, it's, right now.
Other than him, Malik Monk, that's it, really.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not there yet. I mean, fatigue hasn't really caught up to anyone at this point. Everyone's still got somewhat fresh legs. So I don't know. I'm not investing in the Hornets just yet.
And I'm happy to see that the Pistons are overachieving, because Dwayne Casey is now the head coach for the Detroit Pistons.
I don't know if they're overachieving, honestly. It looks right to me.
I mean, they're having a good season, and I think it's good for him to be able to show that it was not just a case of good timing, that he had a good team in Toronto, a good group of players. He's showing that he's actually a good coach. Of course, yeah. It's just the start of the season. We should wait, and we should talk about this later on. But I'm happy to see that. What's his name? Blake Griffin is playing.
Going back to that dominant Blake Griffin, mm-hmm, that we saw in the Clippers. And at the very bottom, at the basement of the Eastern Conference, we got the Cavaliers, who went from are the defending champs of the East to having one win and 11 losses. But before we move on to the Cavs, Rafael, you had a trivia last week's episode, and fans are just dying to know the answers to your trivia.
It was actually more than one question. The first question was, who was the first Argentinian player to play in the NBA?
And the answer is
Pepe Sanchez.
Pepe Sanchez! Yes. There you go, folks.
Pepe Sanchez, he played for the 76ers, and he actually played for Temple. Temple during his NCAA years. And then after playing for Temple, he was undrafted. He went back to Argentina. And then eventually in 2001, he signed with the 76ers. He also played for the Hawks. He played for Real Madrid in Spain for a long time. Also for Barcelona in Spain. Then the other question was, who was the Venezuelan player that played for the Rockets in the early 2000s?
And the answer is,
we need a drum roll. Oscar Torres.
Oscar Torres, yes. Everyone.
And he played for the Rockets, for the Golden State Warriors, and then he played in Russia, in Italy, and so on. But yeah.
Do we know the whereabouts of Mr. Oscar Torres?
He's now retired. No, he plays for Marinos de Anzoátegui
I actually have heard of that team.
Yeah, and he also played in Turkey and so many other teams. But yeah, he in the NBA, he only played for the Rockets and for the Warriors.
And I think there's one last question, correct?
Yes. So this one, it's actually quite
That was the easiest one.
No, there are two more, but I'm gonna go with an interesting one first. Puerto Rican player that played for the Phoenix Suns and also for the Harlem Globetrotters. He's the only, to my knowledge, I might be wrong, but I feel like he's the only Latin American player, or maybe he was the first one to play for the Globetrotters.
And the answer is
Daniel Santiago.
Daniel Santiago, everyone!
And he played for the Phoenix Suns as well. And he played a long time for Barcelona. Daniel Santiago. Let's see if there's anything else that I can tell you about him. He played for the Milwaukee Bucks as well, for the Phoenix Suns, I mentioned that, Barcelona, and he's already retired. And he also played for Boca Juniors in Argentina. And then the last one.
Oh, wait, hold on. He was actually born in Texas. He's Puerto Rican and American.
Okay, but still, he's Puerto Rican.
I don't know if that counts.
And then last one, Puerto Rican player that was actually quite a good player for the Jazz. He played for the Utah Jazz, and he was quite
and a good for player. More than for not only the Jazz. He played for the Miami Heat.
Yeah, he also played for the Miami Heat. But he started with the Jazz, right? If I'm not mistaken.
And the answer is...
Carlos Arroyo. He was Arroyo. Also, he was also sponsored by End One. So there was a lot of commercials and a lot of, you know, like different campaigns that End One did for Carlos Arroyo. He also played for the Denver Nuggets, for the Toronto Raptors. I didn't remember he played for the Toronto Raptors. Actually, his first team in the league was the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. I forgot about that.
And then Denver Nuggets, and then Tau Ceramica. I think that's in Spain.
Tau, yeah.
Yeah. And then Utah Jazz after that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So there you have it, folks.
He's now playing for Cariduros de Fajardo.
I have no idea what that is.
Yeah. Probably in Puerto Rico. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah.
There you have it, folks. That was Rafael's trivia for the week. Do you have any trivia for next week, Rafael?
No, but you know what? Starting next week, we could make it like a segment, and I could come up with one question per show.
If you like,
per episode.
If you guys like Rafael's trivia, let us know. If you hate it, you don't have much choice, really, because we're gonna ask those questions. He's got some good ones, I gotta be honest. All right, so we were talking about the Cavaliers. You know Paul Pierce? You know Paul Pierce, right?
Yes, not personally, but yeah, I heard
about
him.
No, I don't expect you to know him personally, but... So, Paul Pierce this week said that Duke, the current edition of the Duke team, Duke University, would be able to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in a game. Your thoughts?
I think he might be right.
You think so?
Yeah.
So,
I mean... The Cleveland Cavaliers, they suck right now.
They do, pretty bad. And Duke, they look very strong. I mean, we have a very small sample size for Duke. But Zion Williamson, RJ Barrett, and oh God, I forgot the third really good player.
Cam Reddish? No.
Cam Reddish, yes. Yeah. Wow, good job, Rafael.
Thank you.
Good job. They look very scary. They look like they might just dominate college basketball.
And it's the first time that Coach K has accepted to coach... players that were openly one and done, right? Because they're all players, especially Zion.
And even RJ Barrett,
he's not staying for a second year.
Absolutely not.
I mean, I think one of the most interesting things that I heard this week about Zion Williamson, Jalen Rose, he was talking about it this week, and he said that Zion Williamson, if he were to play today in the NBA, he would be the second heaviest player in the league.
After?
I don't know who's the first, but he's like the second heaviest player as far as weight. And that's crazy because like he's huge and he's so agile and he's so fast.
He's very athletic.
He can block shots. He can, you know, go coast to coast and he can dunk. And wow, it's crazy.
I think that, I mean, I'm not a college basketball expert, but... I think he has to shed a little bit of that weight.
Yeah, he's a. I feel like he's a bit too heavy, but I always said that about Kyle Lowry, and you always tell me that's
he's how just
he
is. A big ass. That's all.
But also, the other day, Paul Pierce was talking about his career, and he said that part of the reason why he had such a great career because he had a big butt.
Yeah, no, I remember that conversation. Yeah, I remember that conversation. But it works. I mean, but Zion, he's massive, and RJ Barrett, who is Canadian, he's from Montreal. He's going to be a really good shooting guard or a really good two-way player. So, again, you think that Duke can beat the Cavs on a game?
I think it's possible. I think it's possible. Not because of how great Duke is as a team, but because of how bad the Cavs are.
I feel like every year there are you know, the best college team and the worst NBA team, they always compare them and they say that the college team could beat the NBA team. And I've never been a fan of that argument because I feel like there is no way that these kids could beat an NBA team. I mean, it's not like this, like the NBA players are not trying to win. They're getting beat by better versions of those players. But it doesn't mean that the team is made out of, you know, college kids.
Yeah, and it's the kind of discussion that we're never going to be 100% sure about it. Like, There's never going to be a case of a NBA team playing against an NCAA team. And I mean, I don't think the Cavs would even take that challenge because they don't want to be embarrassed in case they lose. That would be so ridiculous.
It would be interesting to see in the during the summertime, in the off season, to have the NCAA champ take on an NBA team. Not necessarily the worst one, because then that's a little too much of a circus. But it would be interesting to see how the reigning champ in college basketball would fare against the one of any of the 30 NBA teams.
Okay, I have some crazy numbers here that I'm going to share with you guys. So Zion Williamson, he's 6'7", 285 pounds. That's like 129 kilograms. And he's 6'7". And still, even with that weight, he has a 40-plus inch vertical, which is
that's insane.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, imagine if he can manage to lose 10 pounds, that would make a difference already. And he would still be a beast.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if... I don't know who's his trainer or what's his plan for going into the NBA, but I feel like he has to shape his body a little bit more to what LeBron is right now, who is huge. The guy is super strong, but he's still super fast and agile.
Yes.
So... I don't know. I don't think that that Duke could take on the Cavs. But let's move on. We're going from NBA to college. Now we're going to go to high school basketball because guess what, Rafael?
It even looks like we planned this.
I know. We should do this more often. No, this is not a coincidence. Guess who came back to the United States? Who went back because we're in Canada? I'll give you a hint. His dad says, never lost.
Oh. That must be LaMelo.
That's right. The Ball brothers, LaMelo Ball and LiAngelo Ball, they went back to the United States. LaMelo joined the Spire Institute in Ohio, where he's going to play the rest of his high school year. And I don't know if he's planning to do college.
He's still eligible. He's still eligible to go to university. He never got paid, right?
I know. And that's the thing. I mean... LaVar can get on my nerves, but he's not stupid.
Well, but
he is not stupid.
Wait, I'm a little bit upset with LaVar.
Because
I mean, other than sometimes I consider he's like too crazy, and his interviews can even like hurt his kids.
Okay.
And the potential future that they could have. But I am a little bit upset because he came up with this speech that kids need another option, and if they don't want to go to college, they should be able to get paid and so on. He even created a league that should be an option, should be another way, another option for kids that don't want to go to college. And then he basically ruined all of these kids' eligibility for NCAA because they were all getting paid, but his kid was not getting paid because he's too smart to pay his kid because he knew that maybe he still needed to go to college. So I'm happy that LaMelo is still eligible, but I'm sad that all these kids believed LaVar Ball, and now they're no longer eligible. Maybe they would never make it to NCAA, and maybe they would never make it to the NBA. But at least if they made it to college on a scholarship, they could potentially get an education and then, you know, have a better life.
Yeah, this is a tough one. And I'm with you. I mean, I don't know enough of high school basketball to know if he got any top five recruits or whatever. I doubt it because, you know, those players would probably most likely make it to college. But yeah, if you get paid, you're not eligible to play for a college team or to be part of NCAA, right? Because you're violating their stupid rules, which is an episode on its own. The fact that they cannot get paid is pretty much stupid because the NCAA is getting tons of money out of their names. I don't want to go there. Let's try to focus on LaMelo. I promise that we'll touch that on next episode. So LaMelo already had a fantastic game. Mm-hmm. LiAngelo is trying to get to the G League. The Ball brothers are back in the States. What do we make out of that?
I think it's good that they're back. I think that LaVar basically recognized that he made a mistake.
I don't think so. I mean, it's not about making a mistake. I mean, quite frankly, I saw tapes of LiAngelo, and he's a good player, that's for sure. He could beat me on a one-on-one with his eyes closed, I agree. But I don't think he's NBA material.
But again,
I just don't think so.
He was playing for UCLA, and he would be able to get an education from UCLA, which would...
That was not his plan.
It would prepare him better for his life.
No, that was not his plan.
Anyways, he still has a chance to make it to the league, maybe through the G League.
I don't think LiAngelo is NBA potential.
Maybe he won't make it, but LaMelo, now he has a better chance of making it.
LaMelo, on the other hand, I do think that he's got some NBA potential.
Yeah, but I'm not 100% sure if this adventure and this journey that their father took them to Lithuania and so on, I am not sure if this was beneficial or not. Maybe it was beneficial for their brand. That's another story. But I don't know if it was beneficial for them as kids.
I think it was beneficial for LaMelo more than it was for LiAngelo. LiAngelo had more to lose. LaMelo, he was playing against grown men, something that he couldn't have done had he stayed just in high school.
Yeah.
So I think it benefited LaMelo. I mean, he had a really good game with the Spire Institute or whatever that is. And because he now played against other teams, other styles of basketball, so he was exposed to more. So I think it's going to benefit him in the long run.
And he looks tall and long.
Yeah.
He looks like an
He looks like Lonzo a little bit. Just, you know, long limbs, thin, athletic. Anyways, it's good to have LaVar back. I kind of miss him, to be honest. Last thing, we went NBA, college, high school. Now we're going international.
Okay.
So take your passport, Rafael, because guess where we're going?
We're going to China.
That's right, we're going to China, where Jimmy Fredette scored 75 points for the Sharks that are from a city that I forgot. The Beijing Sharks?
No,
I
it's forgot. Not Beijing. It's not Beijing.
I forgot. I am so
Shanghai,
sorry.
Shanghai, maybe?
Shanghai Sharks. That makes a lot more sense.
I don't
yes.
know. I'm just guessing.
No, that probably makes sense. Anyways, Jimmy Fredette, who used to play in the NBA, scored 75 points.
And I think he deserves a second chance.
You know who's also in the Shanghai Sharks?
Who?
Luis Scola.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. He had a decent performance. He scored, I think, 23 points.
Huh. But yeah, I feel like Jimmy Fredette, he's been playing on that level for more than a year. Last year, he was already amazing in China.
Yeah. Didn't he score 80-something points?
Yeah, and I think he deserves a chance. He deserves to come back. I don't know if it's a matter that his body is not strong enough for the NBA. He doesn't have the kind of athletic ability that you need to be an NBA player. I don't know if that's the issue, but he's clearly very talented and such an amazing shooter.
He's a great shooter.
Yeah.
Now, I think if there's any chance for him to go back to the NBA, it would be in a Kyle Korver kind of role and completely off the bench. He's not a starter. But if there's a team that needs extra shooting, I mean, he's probably willing to sign a contract, a cheap contract or a veteran's minimum, whatever it is, just to go back and play in the NBA. Having said that, I don't know. Maybe he's the next Stephen Marbury. I don't know.
Yeah, and he's only making $1.5 million USD.
Oh, only making $1.5 million. Oh, poor Jimmy.
No, but I feel like I agree with you. If he comes back, he would be more like a JJ Redick or a Kyle Korver. But what I've been watching, he's more than that in China. He's capable of, you know, driving and finishing at the rim. And, of course, the three-point shooting is still there, and he's amazing. But I'm very impressed, to be honest. And I was going to say that I was looking at pictures here. And last week, we talked about the City Edition jerseys.
Yeah.
And I don't know if last week the Cleveland Cavaliers had already released their City
Not
Edition.
Not yet, no.
So I was looking at pictures and the Shanghai Sharks jersey looks exactly like the City Edition for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's see if I can
show
you.
So is it orange and blue and, you know, with a weird wave pattern?
Yes.
Huh, interesting. I haven't seen their uniforms. Oh, yeah, that's... Wow. Yikes. It's oddly familiar.
The only thing is that this one, the Shanghai Sharks, they have like 700 sponsors. Actually, not that many compared to other countries, but more than the NBA for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, that's this week's episode. We went all over the league, all across levels of basketball. That was very fun. Thank you, Rafael. That was quite the journey.
Thank you, Rodrigo.
So politically correct. Yeah. Don't forget to rate us, subscribe us, tell us what you want to see. Don't forget to like us on our social media. Follow us on Instagram at dropping.dimes, Twitter dropping_dimes1, facebook.com/dropping.dimes1, on our website dropping-dimes.com, so much punctuation, or send us an email, hold on, at rod@dropping-dimes.com.
And no, guys, he's not reading this. He actually memorized all of these.
I did. I was too embarrassed from that one time that I forgot our own social media.
That's amazing.
Thank you. You should know this too. Maybe that should be your trivia.
It's going to take like a year for me to memorize.
Probably. Anyways, shout out again to everyone at the Vancouver Podcast Festival. All the organizers, all the volunteers. We forgot about you guys in the beginning. So thank you so much. Thank you to everyone that we met. And we'll see you next week. Peace out.